tape recorded message number TL-485. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, the first verse. Here we read that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, that is, one of the prophets he had slain, by tomorrow about this time. In other words, she gave him just 24 hours to live. And when he saw the condition existed, he arose and went for his life. And he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and he left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. I would digress there to say that this was a time of angelic ministry, and this angel was actually a mediator between God and man. The food was from God, the angel had prepared it. This angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. We live under an administration of God when there is just one mediator between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must look to him for everything. Verse 6, And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee, that is, too great for his present strength. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. And so he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights, and came unto Horeb, the mount of God. This is the mount in which the law was given. So he came to Horeb. And he came thither unto a cave, found a cave in this mount, on this mount, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Remember, this was a time when the word of the Lord came right to men, and tells them what to do, or gives them the information they need. And he said unto him, that is when the word of the Lord came, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. He's referring now to the northern kingdom, to the 10-tribe kingdom, which is under King Ahab and the queen Jezebel. And he says, The children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, your agreement. They've thrown down your altars. They've slain your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. He meant, of course, of all the prophets and of all the faithful ones, he felt that he was the only one left. And the Lord told him, said, Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. Many things happen, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a still small voice, and the Lord was in the still small voice. Who can help but think of this when they see these so-called ministers of the gospel who thunder, who rant, who rave, who madden themselves as they go about the land, and yet the Lord is not in the wind, the fire, the earthquake, but he certainly was in the still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out, and stood in the entering in the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him, and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars, they've slain your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Well, the Lord said unto him, You go, return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, then you anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay. Him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, in this 10-tribe northern kingdom, that seem to be totally and completely apostate. He says, I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. This has reference to the image of Baal, the idol, and men had gone there in order to be in with the flow of things, that awful flow of things that existed at that time. And yet the Lord said, I have reserved to myself 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed to Baal. Oftentimes when men see the awful apostasy of today, they think that they're the only one that loves God, loves the truth, and appreciates the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's just because that maybe they're the only one in their immediate neighborhood. Or they feel that no one in their little city understands them. And we could get to thinking that. But keep in mind, there are the 7,000 of not bowed the knee to Baal. Then there are always those that think, well, we ought to search out these 7,000, and we should organize them. And the people that suggest this always have the idea to make me, I don't mean myself, but their words are to make themselves the bishop or the archbishop or the pastor, the teacher, something of this flock, and then I'll shepherd the 7,000. No, God wants these right where they are. I know many of them today that love God with all their hearts and love the truth above all things and are completely submissive to God, and they're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can claim for them everything that God has promised to the believer. We're not trying to bring them together in one city or on one island or anything like that. I'll serve them in every way that I can. And I thank the Lord that he's given me many ways of serving, by radio, by means of a tape-recorded ministry, or by which I'm doing right here now, or by means of the printed page ministry, the issues of seed and bread that we send out as often as we can. And so the Lord has his people. You see, if it was not for the providence of God, there wouldn't be a man on this earth today that cared anything about the truth. He would just say, well, what's popular? What will get me the most friends? And what will bring me the most acclaim? And that's what he would follow. So in verse 19 we read, he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Now, from here on, you want to be careful. We have got two names before us. Elijah, that's E-L-I-J-A-H. The J-A-H is Yah, and that is an abbreviation, a shortening of the word Yahweh. But this is Elisha, E-L-I-S-H-A, and he is the son of Shaphat. And this man was plowing with 12 oak of Jackson before him, and he was with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. That's all that he did. He just passed by, and without any great ceremony, without trying to put on a great act, he just took his coat off and cast it upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" He wanted him to think this through and study it out. So he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen. He slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. From this time on, Elijah and Elisha will be very much together, with Elisha doing the ministering, serving, for that's what it means. To minister is to serve, is to dispense, is to give out. And that's all that it means. Let me tell you, in this desperate times, I'm not dispensing religion. Just as best I can, I'm trying to dispense the truth of God. This brings us to the 20th chapter. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his host together, and there were 32 kings with him. They were allied with him in horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it. Now here we find that the northern kingdom is now called Samaria. And here Ben-Hadad, who was king of Syria, he's gathered all of his army together, and he's got 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And so he is besieging Samaria. That's the northern kingdom, and warred against it. So he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, "Thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine. Your wives also and your children, even the goodliest, are mine." And the king of Israel answered and said, "My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have." My, he succumbs right away. He simply gives in. Well, he has no one to look to. He's come to a place where he's given up Yahweh, the God of Israel. He has forsaken the covenant. He has no one at all to look for, and he just doesn't even dare to try to look to Baal. But in verse 5, the messenger came again and said, "Thus speaketh Ben-Hadad, saying, although I have sent unto thee, saying, thou shalt deliver me your silver and your gold and your wives and your children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search your house and the houses of your servants. And it shall be that whatsoever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hand and take it away. They'll leave the junk and the trash with you, but they're going to take everything that's even pleasant in thine eyes. They'll put it in their hand, they'll take it away." Verse 7, "Then the king of Israel called all the elders of the land and said, mark, I pray you, and see how this man seeketh of mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives, and for my children, for my silver, and for my gold, and I denied him not. And all the elders and all the people said unto him, hearken not unto him, nor consent." Don't consent to this. "Wherefore he sent unto the messengers of Ben-Hadad, tell my lord the king, all that thou didst send for to thy servant at the first I will do, but this thing I may not do. And the messengers departed and brought him word again. And Ben-Hadad sent unto him and said, the gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. If you'd take all of the soil of Samaria, it wouldn't be a handful for each if we gave it to the number that followed him." And the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. While the word hornets here is supplied, we do need a word to supply, and a word supplied to give us the real meaning of this. But when men went to battle, they went up hornaced. They went up with the belt on that held the sword, and they went up with the spear in the hand and the shield, with their arm through one loop and the hand holding the other. And that was called going up hornaced. And he said, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. In the Hebrew it just says, let not him that girdeth himself boast himself as he that putteth it off after the battle is over. Well, it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message, as he was drinking, he and the kings in the pavilions, that he said to his servants, set yourselves in array. And they set themselves in array against the city. And behold, there came a prophet unto Ahab, king of Israel, saying, it was just God's spokesman, that's all that a prophet is. And this prophet comes to Ahab, king of Israel, and said, thus saith the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Behold, I will deliver it unto thine hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. I'll do this, because you're going to know that I am the Lord. If he submits to this, if he yields to this, if he responds to this great act of God, if he'll turn to the Lord, this man could have a great future. Well, in verse 14, Ahab said, by whom? And he said, thus saith the Lord, even by the young men of the princes of the provinces. Then he said, who shall order the battle? And he said, you will order the battle. And you will give the orders and determine how they fight and where they fight. Well, then he numbered the young men of the princes of the provinces. They were 232. And after them he numbered all the people, the children of Israel, being 7,000. And they went out at noon. But Ben-Hadad was drinking himself drunk in the pavilions, he and the kings, the 32 kings that helped him. And here they are, practically dead drunk, and it's only noon. Verse 17, the young men of the princes, the provinces, went out first. And Ben-Hadad set out, and they told him, saying, there are men come out of Samaria. And he said, whether they come for peace, take them alive, or whether they come out for war, take them alive. So these young men of the prince of the provinces came out of the city, and the army which followed them. And they slew every one his man. And the Syrians fled, and Israel pursued them. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Israel, escaped on a horse with horsemen. And the king of Israel went out, and he smote the horses and the chariots, and he slew the Syrians with a great slaughter. Verse 22, the prophet came, the king of Israel, and said to him, go strengthen thyself, and mark and see what thou doest. For at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. You strengthen yourself, make yourself strong. Check everything that you're doing, be careful. Because at the return of the year, the king of Syria will come up against thee. And the servants of the king said unto him, their gods are the, the servants of the king of Syria said to him, their gods are the god of the hills. Therefore they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And do this thing, take the kings away, every man out of his place, and put captains in their rooms, and number thee an army like the army that thou hast lost, horse for horse, chariot for chariot. We will fight against them in the plain, and surely we shall be stronger than they. And he hearkened unto their voice and did so. And it came to pass at the return of the year that Ben-Hadad numbered the Syrians and went up to Aphek to fight against Israel. And the children of Israel were numbered, and were all present, and went against them. And the children of Israel pitched before them like two little flocks of kids. But the Syrians filled the country. And there came a man of God, and spake unto the king of Israel, and said, Thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, Jehovah is the God of the hills, but he is not the God of the valleys. It's because they made this boast. Therefore will I deliver all this great multitude into thine hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And they pitched one over against the other 7 days. And so it was that in the seventh day the battle was joined, and the children of Israel slew of the Syrians 100,000 footmen in one day. But the rest fled to Aphek, into the city. And there a wall fell upon 27,000 of the men that were left. Ben-Hadad fled, and came into the city into an inner chamber. And his servants said unto him, Behold, now we have heard that the kings of the house of Israel are merciful kings. Let us, I pray thee, put sackcloth on our loins, and ropes upon our heads, go out to the king of Israel, peradventure he will save your life. So they girded sackcloth on their loins, put ropes on their heads, and came to the king of Israel, and said, Thy servant Ben-Hadad saith, I pray thee, let me live. And he said, Is he yet alive? He is my brother. Now the men diligently observed whether anything would come from him, and did hastily catch it. And they said, Thy brother Ben-Hadad. And he said, Go ye bring him. Then Ben-Hadad came forth to him, and he caused him to come up into the chariot. And Ben-Hadad said unto him, The cities which my father took from your father I will restore, and thou shalt make streets for thee in Damascus, as my father made in Samaria. Then said Ahab, I will send thee away with this covenant. So he made a covenant, an agreement with him, and sent him away. And a certain man of the sons of the prophets said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man refused to smite him. Then said he unto him, Because thou hast not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, as soon as thou art departed from me, a lion shall slay thee. And as soon as he was departed from him, a lion found him and slew him. Then he found another man, and said, Smite me, I pray thee. And the man smote him, so that in smiting he wounded him. That didn't kill him, he wounded him. So the prophet departed and waited for the king by the way, and disguised himself with ashes upon his face. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, Thy servant went out in the midst of the battle, and behold, a man turned aside, and brought a man unto me, and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And so here it was, this man was given a man to keep, and if he escapes, he says, in any way, you're going to pay with your life. And he says, as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. You know, I never think of this, but what I do not think of a message given by the late Dr. C.I. Schofield. And in the course of this message, he dealt with this portion. And he said, you know, everyone is given a man to keep. And I would say that everyone is given a life to manage. Some people are managing their lives very, very badly. And as a result, their lives are in a mess. They've lost all control of their lives, and they've given this control up to whatever the people do or whatever is the popular thing. With young people, often it's whatever their peer group is doing, and they've got to do what the rest do. And so we find people very much dressing alike and drinking alike and so on, just because that everybody is doing it. And the man that God gave them to keep, whose life they were supposed to manage in order, we find out that that life has very well slipped away. It's just about gone. We see it often. And so, yes, and the excuse is, well, I was always so busy, I did not have time for this. But you know, really, anyone on earth has time to do the things that they want to do. If they really want to do it, there's a way to find time for it. If they don't want to do it, they just use the excuse that, I'm so busy here and so busy there, and by the time they get around to it, their life is gone. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before those evil days come not. I will readily admit I find it harder to study, a little more difficult, because it's harder for me to remember. I've reached the age when I have the right to say that. I'm not senile. I'm not making any excuses. I'm just simply saying that I do thank God. Way back when I was 18 years of age, and even before that when I was just a boy, that I became quite well acquainted with the Word of God. I remember quite well reading these very stories in Foster's Story of the Bible, and asking my father to find me the place in the Old Testament where this story would tell me more, and I remember reading it in the Old Testament. And it's a good thing to do. I thank the Lord for it. So the king of Israel said to him, "So shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it." And he hasted, took away the ashes from his face, and the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of your hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction." This was Ben-Hadad, whom God had appointed to utter destruction. "Therefore my life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people." And the king of Israel went to the house heavy and displeased. And he came to Samaria. This is Ahab. Well, it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard. This vineyard was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab, the king of Samaria. See how the northern tribe is now called Samaria? Because it's called by its capital. And the southern tribe will always be called Judah. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, "Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." And Ahab said to Ahab, "The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee." He was not supposed to do this under the law. And so here was a man who had enough respect for the law that God had given in Exodus, Leviticus, and so on, that he just wouldn't sell the inheritance of his fathers, get money for it, or another piece of land. And Ahab came into his house, that is, back into his house, heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, "I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers." And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. He is entirely childish in this. And I remember the word of a man who gave me very good advice in regard to real estate dealings. He said, "Mr. Sellers, never want a piece of property too badly. Never do that. You'll make a mistake, you'll pay too much, you'll get the wrong thing just because you want it so badly that you'll do anything to get it." And I've remembered that, and it worked out well. Well, this man wants this so badly that he's sick about it. He just wouldn't eat any food. Verse 5, "But Jezebel his wife came to him and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad that you eat no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel his wife said unto him, Dost thou not now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry, and I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in the city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him. Here we are again, these worthless ones, these sons of Belial, no good at the present, no destiny in the future, to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and carry him out and stone him that he may die. They're going to bear this false witness, charge him with blasphemy. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial. Remember, Belial is not a proper name. It's a descriptive word, and it describes the worst kind of a man. And they said in the presence of people, this is the end of verse 13, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king, and they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned with his stone, since he died, and he died. And they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. It came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. It came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to possess it. And thou shalt speak unto him. Now remember, he's sending Elijah. And he says, thou shalt speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed, and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? Remember the first time he saw him, he said, are you the one troubling Israel? Now he says, have you found me, O mine enemy? And he answered and said, I have found thee, because you have sold yourself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that voids against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith he hath provoked me into anger, and made Israel to sins. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dog shall eat. Him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Well, it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes, the great symbol of grief in ancient and Asian world, put sackcloth upon his flesh, the cheapest and coarsest kind of cloth. He fasted, lay in sackcloth, and went softly and very carefully. Well, the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Some people would call this repentance. Schofield calls it repentance in his notes. This isn't repentance. It was just simply a display of humility. And The Lord speaks to Elijah and says, you see how Ahab humbleth himself before me. Because he humbleth himself before me, he does. I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Chapter 22, the first verse. There continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. 3 years of peace. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. The way the countries are located, we would say that he went up, but word here is that he came down. He came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hands of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Well, the king of Israel, now notice it was the king of Judah that said, you inquire of your prophets. So the king of Israel gathered together the prophets, about 400 men, and said unto them, shall I go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, go up, for the Lord shall deliver thee into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside, that we might inquire of him? The king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire the Lord, but I hate him. And the reason he hated him was he doth prophesy evil concern, and he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. He wanted a man that would tell him what he wanted to hear. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. Then the king of Israel called an officer and said, hasten hither, Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, sat each on his throne, having put on their robes in a void place, an empty place, in the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And Zedekiah, the son of Chenaiah, made him horns of horn, and he said, thus saith the Lord, with these shalt thou push the Syrians until that thou hast consumed them. And all the prophets prophesied, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver thee into the king's hands. Well, the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, behold now, the words of the prophets declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. Now, you've got 450 votes against you, and so you just join in with the crowd and say what they say. How could you be different? How could you be right and all of these prophets be wrong? But Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. So he came to the king, and the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go against Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall we forbear? And he answered him, grow and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it in the hand of thy king. And the king said unto him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou tell me nothing but that which is true in the name of the Lord? And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would prophesy no good concerning me but evil? And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth Gilead. And one said on this manner, another on that manner. There came forth a spirit which stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And that's already taken place, you see. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. Now, therefore, the Lord hath put a lying spirit. This is not a spirit being, but just a lying spirit in the mouth of all of these thy prophets. And the Lord has spoken evil concerning thee. But Zedekiah, the son of Chenaniah, went here. He smote Micaiah on the cheek and said, Which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? And Micaiah said, Behold, thou shalt see in that day, when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. And the king of Israel said, Take Micaiah, and carry him back unto Amon the governor of the king, and to Joash the king's son, and say, Thus saith the king, Put this fellow in prison, feed him with bread of affliction, and with the water of affliction, until I come in peace. And Micaiah said, If thou return at all in peace, the Lord hath not spoken by me. And he said, Hearken, O people, every one of you. Well, we'll have to make a break at that point because we've run out of time. Thought I could finish the book, but we can add it right to the next book because there is no break between these two. And so, since my time is up, I want to say again, it's been a pleasure to go through these things in the Word of God. And try to fix these things upon your mind rather than some clever thing that I might say, if I could say it, and get you thinking about other things. I've tried to keep your mind right upon the Word of God. So till we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.